Mark, good for you.
Did you like that?
I like it a lot.
Oh, it's our favorite time of the week. It is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So we know we're going to have a lot of questions, and we love it, right?
I hope so.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Again, we have Mike Wiggins with us, the Garden Line. Send us your questions. Send us your pictures. Give us a call, 437-1620. So you liked my... We were going.
Oh, Johnny B. Good. Oh,
that was a good one.
A toe tapper.
Man, that got us going real quick. Yeah, I was like, do we need to turn
it? Turn this into a music show, right?
A lot of times I just don't want to turn it off. I'm like, just dancing in the studio.
Dance around, absolutely.
It's a good time. So, how have you been?
I've been very, very good. Thank
good.
You.
Good.
Had a lot of graduations to attend.
Oh, yeah, they went well.
Oh, they just went great. Went
good.
To Pensacola High School baccalaureate mm-hmm. the other day. I'm going to their graduation mm-hmm. on Wednesday. Went to the University of Florida graduation.
Okay.
The other day. Went to that one, too, and St. Paul's and mm-hmm. Catholic High School. So I've
been to those. Made your rounds.
I've made the rounds, but they were all nice. And I will say this. This really has nothing to do mm-hmm. with the Garden Line. You go to those graduations and baccalaureates mm-hmm. and hear the accomplishments of those young people, where they're going and what their mm-hmm. goals are, it gives you just all the faith in the world on the new generation.
Oh, we need that, right?
A lot of folks say, oh, the new generation mm-hmm. isn't going to be able to take over and do, mm-hmm. you know, let them have it. They're ready.
Well, but, I do have to say, because I have an older child, and they are in the phase in this life where we've really empowered them to know what they want to do. And go for it.
Right.
You know, I feel like a long time ago, we just didn't know what we wanted to do.
Oh, I
feel
agree.
Like really society empowers them to say, hey, you can do anything you want to do. Go for it. And I can see that. That's encouraging.
Oh, it is encouraging. And some of the schools these kids are going to is just amazing. It's a lot of the Ivy League schools. There was some MITs the other day. A lot of them going to, you know, graduate work. Anyway, it was very
good.
Encouraging to see those kids walk across the stage and talk about what they were going to do. Now, I don't know if any of them are going to go into horticulture.
But, maybe you could encourage them.
I might encourage them to do that. Not a bad feel. It's been good for me. I did want to mention before we get to some of our texts to kind of follow up a little bit on last week's show mm-hmm. when we spent a lot of time on the No-Mo-May.
No-Mo-May.
No-Mo-May
right.
philosophy, which is saying, do not
mow your
lawn in the month of May. Now, no one in Pensacola is encouraging that because a lot of the folks up north are. It really came over from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
But no-mow May is very, very interesting. You don't mow in May, according to the folks who are advocating that. You don't mow in May to let your lawn go up so the pollinators, the mm-hmm. bees, the insects, et cetera, have food and shelter because they are so important in the production of seeds and fruits and that type, and flowers and that type of thing. So that's good. The only other thing I wanted to add to that before, because I did want to talk a little bit about mowing in a minute.
Okay.
The only thing about the no-mow May, in Pensacola, considering the zone we are in, kind of a subtropics almost, you don't mow your lawn in May or even longer than that, and it turns into a jungle.
Oh, yeah.
And like we said last week, sometimes once you have done that, you've gone that long without maintaining your lawn, the weeds such as that just kind of, a lot of them perennialize and they naturalize and you can't get rid of them anymore. So it's not a good philosophy for us. But it was fun to talk about.
It was fun to talk about. Yeah. And I wanted to let you know that the text messaging that we used was down, I think, for Andrew's show and Brent's show, Cat Country. But it's working now because I tested it.
Oh, good.
So I just sent myself a message. So I apologize if you were listening and you didn't get your question answered. It is working now. So it is back
good.
Up.
Good. While we talk just very briefly about the art of mowing, since we're not going to adhere to the no-mow May, we are all going to probably mow about once a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to just stress one more time, and I bet we've said this 100 times on the Garden Line, is your mowing height is so important. The leaf width of your blade of grass really kind of dictates how high you should mow your grass.
Mm-hmm.
ready for that. We've said it, like I say, 1,000 times. St. Augustine, 4 inches. Centipede, 3 inches. Zoysia, 2 inches. And that's well and good. But you really do need to do it, because if you mow it high, you're going to have deeper roots. And I love what this article said from the state. If you do mow it high, here's what you can expect. Greater resistance to drought, insects, disease, nematodes, temperature stress, poor soil conditions, nutritional deficiencies, and traffic.
Did you say traffic?
You named the problem. Oh, yeah, traffic. Traffic is a big problem, especially with centipede grass. Tammy, I'm getting away from mowing real quick. A lot of folks, such as myself, have had centipede grass over the years, and if you have an area that has a lot of traffic, be it kids, or I have found if you have your garbage can, say, in the backyard, and you have one area or one way to get out to the street, and you, in the wintertime, the traffic on that centipede may not come back. But if it comes back very, very slowly,
okay,
and just not as healthy. So traffic on centipede especially. Now, Zoysia and St. Augustine are a little bit better about that. But traffic is something I have a lot of people say, what's wrong with my centipede? I say, well, you got a bunch of kids playing soccer
playing
on it.
Playing kids on it, yeah.
You know, that can easily be the problem.
One year I had a summer into summer party, and we had a big water slide.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a burnt.
Oh, sure.
There was a burnt spot, I think, for a whole year.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It'll happen every time.
Yeah, okay. So I had our friend text in, how should I prepare my soil for laying sod, St. Augustine?
Great question. That's a great question. We'll get back to the mowing in a minute, because that's a great question. If you're going to lay St. Augustine, preparation is the key. It's the absolute key. It's got to be level, flat, soft, and watered. Okay. I would also add a bag or so of lime on it if you're going to do St. Augustine. Then just kind of rake it in. You don't have to turn it in with a tiller, but just kind of rake it in, and then put your sod down. Be sure you're not putting it in dense shade, because it's just not going to do. It's really money wasted over the long term. You put it in dense shade, St. Augustine doesn't do. Really, none of our grasses really like dense shade. Now, St. Augustine has a reputation for being a shade grass. Not true.
Okay.
All turf grasses want the sun. St. Augustine puts up with it better. We always talk about the guy that has the oak trees, about 20 years old, and he'll call in. He may be calling today, say, look, my St. Augustine grass is perfect underneath that oak tree, and it gets a lot of shade. Well, it turns out he probably planted the oak tree when he planted the St. Augustine grass, and they kind of grew together.
Okay.
And acclimated to that shade. But if you've got dense shade, to put sod in that area is probably not the best way to do it. There are many ways you can landscape yourself out of that. Put in plants, big pine straw beds with azaleas, that type of thing, to make it very attractive. But it's a lot of money to sod nowadays, and you sure don't want to put it in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah.
One other thing, and this goes back to mowing a little bit. Back in the day, there were people, when they sodded grass, these were landscapers, they would tell their customer, I don't want you to mow it for 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. Incorrect.
Okay.
Don't do that. I always tell people, if you're sodding your grass, mow it when it needs it.
Okay.
Now, of course, when you sod it, be sure that you've got your pieces of sod that are together and there's not big humps in it, and it's not pieces of sod that are higher than others, because you could easily dig that up with your lawnmower. But if it's installed correctly, you can mow it when it needs it. But, of course, mow it high.
All right.
The St. Augustine
texture
we had, they once they get it in, you know, let's put that lawnmower on 4 inches and never, ever change it.
Somewhere waiting for me. Welcome Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line, always popular. We love you when you're here.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
So smart. He's been doing landscaping for 40 years. Oh, he has usually the answer for everything most of the time.
No.
Yeah, if we don't know it, we'll find it out for you. How about that?
That's a deal.
That's great. Okay, so a friend texts in, there is several species of pear trees. Which one has the best eating pears?
Okay, I'm going to pull from my memory here, and if I'm wrong, you may want to look me up and say, Mike, you got the wrong one. I think Methley.
Methley. Look at him. He was sitting there like...
Might be the one we're talking about. But let me say this. The best thing to do when you're buying fruit trees, like the peaches, plum, pears, blueberries, all of that, talk to your local nurseryman to see what he has in stock.
Okay.
And the important question to ask is this particular variety good insofar as chill hours are concerned? It's like an apple tree.
Okay.
Apple tree, you can plant a red delicious apple like you buy at Publix. It isn't going to do a thing in Pensacola. But if you do the Einsheimer apple, for example, that's one that will do here. It takes less chilling hours. And be sure that your peaches, plums, and pears are ones that will take the chilling hours, and your local nurseryman, people like Larry out of Pensacola Seed and Garden, can tell you what he has in stock that meets that criteria, because it's really important.
Perfect. And Clint wants to know, garden question, how much sun should tomatoes and peppers get a day? They will be in direct sunlight from about 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Will they be okay?
Well, I always like for my tomato plants and vegetables to be in full sun.
Okay.
I think that's the ideal situation. But if he's going to have sun from 11 o'clock in the morning till the end of the day, I bet he's going to be okay. I've had some success. I have a little path on the west side of my house. And, of course, I don't get the morning sun. Mm-hmm. I've had pretty good results. I like to just grow some cherry tomatoes and containers and that type of thing. Pretty good success with that amount of sun. Now, it gets an enormous amount of sun on that west side of my house. It gets the reflection off the house. It gets very hot there. But I think if he's at 11 o'clock, he'll probably be okay. Ideally, though, you want to go full sun. No doubt about it. Kind of like the grass question we had a minute ago. You know, ideally, full sun. Now, maybe you can cheat a little bit, but be careful.
So I'm going to show you a picture, and then I'm going to ask you the question. So I have to take it with my phone and show him. So.
What is this?
Okay, so the question is, good morning. What's getting my pepper plants? I can't see any bugs, maybe a few tiny ants, but what are the brown spots and holes in the leaves? Help! Thanks in advance, Andrea. Thank you so much for texting in, Andrea.
That's two things.
And sending
us
pictures.
Two things going on with the picture here. One, let's do the brown spots.
Okay.
See, the brown spots, and on the picture, it's kind of hard to be that exact, but you'll see it's kind of two colors. It's a circle with a brown spot in the middle. That's a little, some people call that a frog eye. It's a fungus that these plants will get. I don't think I would worry too much about that.
Okay.
It's more cosmetic than it is danger. But if you look at the leaf, Tammy, at the very top, I'll give this back to you.
Okay.
Look at that. See, what do you see in that leaf at the very
top
of the picture? It's a hole. It's a notch.
Oh, yeah.
It's a notch in the leaf. So those are worms that are doing that. Now, I have a great solution for that. It's called Bacillus thuringiensis. Don't worry about that.
I'm sorry, what?
Ask, no. I'll make it easy. Thank you for BT.
BT, okay.
BT. It is a powder you can spread on it. It is organic. It is not toxic.
Okay.
And you can put it on your vegetable plants. Tomato plants, especially, you'll get tomato worms that will do just what that picture showed.
Okay.
It'll put notches in it. And, yes, if they take a toe hole, it can really damage the plant. Fungus, little fungus spots, I wouldn't be too concerned.
Okay.
But the worms, I would. Now, if you can find the worms, some people can do this, some people can't. Just pick them off. Just put your gloves and just pick them off.
Yeah.
Throw them in the trash. You don't worry about using any kind of chemical or whatever. If you can, if you see them, then just pick them off. And, of course, sometimes if you think they're there and you can't see them, a good hose, just get your hose and
Now, does that prevent them from coming back, or you them off and
then
put the powder on?
Even the powder, it's not going to doesn't have that much residual. It kills the ones that are there, so they may come back. So you need to keep an eye on the plant. Yes, you're right.
All righty. Well, we have a phone call. Good morning. How are you?
You're good.
Good. Do you have a question for Mike this morning?
Yeah, so I've got new Zoysia down, and it's actually at the point where it's going to be mow-ready here soon, and I'm getting some weeds coming up through it already. So I guess my question is, should I go ahead and get a weed and feed and put it on myself, or should I get a lawn service to spray so that way I'm not overdoing it and killing the new sod, or what's your recommendation?
That's a great question. How long has the zoysia been in?
I'd say about 2.5 months now, almost 3 months.
The experts will tell you, do not use any type of herbicide on that newly sodded lawn till next year. It can just do some damage. Now, I know some people do it. What I would never use on it is a weed and feed fertilizer. Most weed and feed fertilizers contain atrazine or a pre-emergence, and we're way beyond that because your weeds have already emerged. You would need to spray with a post-emergence spray, but I wouldn't recommend it. I think I'd stick to the experts. Some of those weeds coming up obviously were in the sod when you bought it. Unless it's just too many of them, I would try to manually get them out of there. That's a heck of a recommendation, Tammy. They have somebody get on their hands and knees
in
this pretty weather and weed the yard. But I would be a little suspect using weed killers. Now, the other side of that coin is with zoysia grass, you can use a little stronger weed killers because it's such a thin blade grass. The size of the blade of grass sort of dictates whether you're going to have damage in your lawn. So you might take a chance. What I would recommend, if you really have them bad, is experiment. Get a product called Trimec, mix it up, and spray just a very small section of your yard, and then see if it has done any damage. That's the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. We truly appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have a question for Mike, a gardening question, 437. Welcome back. Sorry, I don't know. I pushed play and nothing came up, so here we are.
I thought we had Elvis coming on.
It's
playing fired up.
Over here on the screen. It's playing, and then this is on, and it's not playing. So it's okay. We're going to figure it out right after the news break.
We'll get Elvis after the break. Real quick comment on mowing, because we started the show with that. And let me end up saying this. Real quick, I'm going to read one sentence here from our expert. Leaving grass clippings on the lawn after you mow is beneficial as it aids in recycling nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible, but I totally disagree. I think one should collect your clippings. Mainly, and for no other reason, you can collect any of the weeds that when you mow and any of the weed seeds so they are not recycled into your yard. I understand some of the reasoning behind leaving the grass clippings on there. And if by chance you say on go vacation and you come back, you have to mow your lawn. Remember, you only go cut off a third of it. But still, that gross grass clippings will clump up in your yard and you have to go out and rake those out. I would collect the clippings. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do nowadays. I think very few people recycle those clippings. And if it does add nutrients, I think it's adding very, very few. So I appreciate the experts recommending that, but I don't agree.
Oh, well, we like your opinion, Mike. So yours
thank
counts.
Thank you. I'm sure there are other opinions out there, but that's just mine.
We appreciate you calling and texting. And if you have a question, we do have a question, but we're going to wait till after the break so you can have some time to answer it.
Cool.
If you want to call or text, it's 437-1620. Don't forget this Tuesday, actually tonight, Bands on the Beach is back on Tuesday, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion at 7. It's Jordan Chase. He was actually on The Voice. So he's been on The Voice on NBC. He's opening for headlining bands at regional festivals and booking local gigs. So Bands on the Beach is always
exciting.
Bands on the
Beach is cool.
It's always great. Definitely.
And the temperatures are going to be a little cooler, too.
Okay.
Maybe in the 60s tonight.
There we go.
It'll be so comfortable.
And I will figure it out. We will have Elvis when we get back.
I can't wait.
Stay tuned.
Just can't wait.
Well, bless my soul, but what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
What a bird. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. We are informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is the Garden Line. It is Tuesday. I hope you are having a fantastic Tuesday. Thank you so much for texting in your questions. You can text in 437-1620. So, Mike, we have three questions to get to.
Well, I thought the first question was when you said, I've got Elvis. I thought Elvis was texting us.
He did. He's know? Like, from heaven? What are we talking about?
Long distance.
Wow, he just dialed that right in. Thanks for listening, Elvis.
Thanks for listening, Elvis. It's good to have you in the studio with us.
I just, you know, want to throw those surprises in there sometimes for you, Mike. You deserve it.
One of the best.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Okay, so back to gardening.
Back to gardening. What do you know about spray-on grass? I'm thinking about using it to fill in holes in my grass.
I hear you. A couple of things. A lot of people commercially, like on the side of the roads, the Department of Transportation does what they call hydro seeding, which is a kind of a mush, if you will, a liquid with grass seed in it. Mm-hmm. And you put it out and it's got material in it that holds water and it's also got grass seed in it. Generally, when they do that, it's bahia grass because that's more of a commercial right away, side of the highway type grass. Now, what I would do if I was going to do an over-the-counter seeding of grass that way, be so sure of what the grass is.
Okay.
I think we mentioned last week, you can go to a big box store and there it is in bags, instant grass. Just put it out. It'll come up. You bet it'll come up because it's ryegrass or fescue or Bermuda, grasses that you don't want in your yard are grasses that are not going to last.
Okay.
If you had a liquid with centipede seed in it, that sounds good. I think that would be a good way to do it. But there is St. Augustine seed, but it doesn't work. So don't think about that. I think unless it's a centipede mixture.
Okay, a centipede mixture.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd be scared of it. I would love for the person texting us to let us know today or even next week what the grass seed is in that liquid mixture.
Okay, so what's the grass seed?
What's the name of the grass seed? Like I say, if it's not centipede, I'd be a little leery of it because it could be something that would, turn green, but in our heat in the summer, it's going to burn up.
Okay, question number two.
All right.
From Joey from Pace. Thank you, Joey, for texting in. River birch leaves are turning yellow and falling. What should I do?
Well, I love river birch. River birch is a great plant. It's more of a, I'm trying to think of the adjective here, kind of more of a delicate plant than, say, a maple, smaller leaves. I like them growing in a multi-trunk as opposed to just one. Now, you could do it with one trunk, but the multi-trunk river birch are gorgeous. One of the problems they have is aphids. Aphids are insects that will adhere to the leaf, and it secretes kind of a sticky type mixture. And many times it's so bad, it'll kind of drip off the tree. I mean, it's nasty. It really is. But that will cause the leaves to drop. Now, other things that could cause it to drop were weed killers used near it, and maybe somebody using a weed killer, the drift got to it. But as we've always said on the Garden Line, generally when a plant loses its leaves like that, it'll, for lack of a better word, heal itself. It's when those leaves stay on the plant, turn brown and crispy, is when you've really got troubles. But I think you may be suffering from aphids. It's the time of year for that.
Okay.
And I bet that could be the problem. If it's not too big, you can spray it with an insecticide, and that will help with the aphids. If it's a big, tall tree, live with it. That's the best you can do.
I wanted to remind you, too, if after the show you missed anything, you wanted to re-listen to the Garden Line, you can head on over to News Radio 92.3. We will podcast this if you missed his answer to your question. Another question. I have an area that is full of centipede grass that I want to turn into a flower bed. What is the best way to remove the centipede grass so that I don't have anything popping up through the mulch later?
Well, there are products that do that. Roundup is one.
Right.
But I always tell our listeners when we talk about Roundup, make your own decision on Roundup. Do your research because, as we all know, you watch the news, there are questions about Roundup. Now, it's still on the counter. I guess it's still approved, all of that. But do your research. that is important, because what Roundup does, Roundup is systemic. In other words, you spray it on a bunch of weeds, and it goes down into the roots and kills the roots.
Mm.
So those weeds that are there. Now, it doesn't really keep future weeds from coming up. It doesn't sterilize an area.
Yeah.
But it does, and you can plant in there relatively soon after those weeds have died.
She's wanting to know if the Roundup will kill she or he. I am so sorry. I do not know. This is a text message. Won't the Roundup kill my flowers that I plant?
That's a great question. That is a great question. The answer is yes and no. Any other questions?
Uh-oh.
No.
Here's that's a little complicated, Mike.
Keep in mind,
we need some help.
That is complicated. No, here's the deal. If you have a plant, say you've got an azalea right here, and it weeds 1 foot away from it. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you spray that, what we call a non-selective herbicide, on that weed, it does not leach into the soil and go over to that azalea. But if you get just a little bit on it, even if it's windy, you never want to do this in the wind, and you got some on the azalea, it'll get on that azalea leaf, translocate to the root, and maybe do damage. But I've known people do this. When they get a non-selective herbicide, Tammy, they'll get a piece of cardboard, a box that they broke down, and put it in front of that azalea, spray the weed, and then move on.
Okay.
That way you know you're not getting drift in the air.
That's smart.
It's not going to go through the soil, but it'll go through the air.
Okay.
So, point, you've got to be so very careful. And I'm going to say this. I know I've asked people, and I still do, to make your own decision on those products.
Right.
But if you decide to do it, just for old Mike, long pants, long sleeve shirt, gloves, a mask. We've all got masks at home now. Mm-hmm. Safety glasses and a hat.
Yeah.
Protect yourself. Really, and that's good advice for any weed killer, quite frankly. But
I mean, it's got some really harsh chemicals in there.
These non-selective herbicides, I really think you need to always protect yourself.
One more question with that. If I spray the area with Roundup now, how soon can I plant the flowers in the same area?
You know what? It's so funny. Way back when that product came out, the first ads that came out were biblical. You ready for this?
Really?
I'll never forget it. They had a little poster that says, "Where ye spray today, ye may plant tomorrow." I don't know why I remember that.
Well, of course you remember it, because they wanted you to remember it. That's how it goes.
I did remember.
That's awesome.
I bet that was 25, 30 years ago. Anyway, point being, once you spray in for the weed, give them time. That it's going to work pretty quick. Let those weeds die down, and you can plant, because it does not stay in the soil.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, now I've got to say one thing.
Okay.
There are other non-selective weed killers out there. There's one called brush killer. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, brush killer is used by a lot of people to kill weeds along a fence line, for example. Mm-hmm. It's a total kill, kills everything, but it'll stay in the soil for a period of time, and it possibly can leach to your good plants. So be careful if you're using a brush killer, that it will sterilize the soil. You could not plant plants in there very soon after you used it.
You are listening. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with the wonderful Mike Wiggins on the garden line.
I thought you were going to say the wonderful Elvis.
Oh, no. You're way better than Elvis.
He liked the way we were talking about him, so he stayed.
If you want to text in your questions, you can send pictures. We would be happy to check it out for you. 437-1620. Hey, you know what, though? I picked that song, and it was talking about temperatures. I didn't do that on purpose, but hey, it worked out.
You know, it's really interesting. Before I do the show, kind of look at the weather. It's going to get a little cool. I mean, it's going to feel cool.
Huh.
It's going to be in the 60s
What?
At night. I'm looking at it. Wednesday.
This is odd.
I'm not sure what Tuesday night is. Wednesday, 66, then 65, then 65,
what in the world?
Then 69. Well, and what that does, there may be some people going to use some lawn weed killers. The 60s are good news. The bad news is it's going to be mid-80s, and it may be.
It's so insane, isn't it?
Exactly. So you need to be very, very careful. Going back to the gentleman with the zoysia grass talking about using weed killers, I hope he doesn't do it really for that year. But if he does, a little experimentation is good.
Okay.
It really is. So anyway, that's what I would do. You know, one thing we need to talk about, which we need to follow up on, was our plants. Remember we went through annuals?
Yes.
We went through perennials. Oh, and I forgot one of the perennials, pentas. It's one of my favorites. And you know, we talked about some of the ugly names, like the Ilex vomitoria and all that. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
It's always something with you. I'm like, what did he just say?
Okay, but you know what the other name for a penta is? An Egyptian star cluster.
Huh.
Now, that's a pretty name.
That is. I like that
very
one. It's
nice.
Way better.
That makes up for the Ilex vomitoria.
Vomitoria.
Penta's a great plant. Got great red blossoms on it. Butterflies love it. Really, really a nice plant for our area. You may want to look into that. Also, we never got to our bulb discussion.
Okay.
We don't have time today to get into details, but I'll tell you, some of the gladiolas around town are gorgeous. The only problem with gladiolas is keeping them upright. They want to fall over. A good friend of mine grows them and sent me a picture, and he had them, and they were beautiful in a big pot with sort of a tomato cage. You know, that you put up a tomato cage in a pot, so the like a Better Boy tomato will run up it, and you don't have to stake it. Well, he was growing the gladiolas with the tomato cage, which made sense.
Yeah.
So that was good. Cannas are nice. Cannas are pretty. I don't think we use them enough. It's a nice upright plant. Beautiful orangish colors for a lot of them. I don't think we use them quite as much as we should. Amaryllis, of course, most of those have bloomed out. Agapanthus are blooming their hearts out right now. I don't know if you've seen them, Tammy, on the long stalk with the blue blossom. Really, really pretty.
Awesome.
And the caladiums are just spectacular. I planted some in pots, and they took a little while, but they're all up now, and I've moved them from where I was growing them out to my patio so they could be enjoyed. But they are really doing well.
Awesome.
And they will do great until Labor Day. And I've never figured out in all my years, how do they know when Labor Day gets here? That's when they'll kind of fall over.
How do they know?
How do they know that?
They're listening to us, like our phones.
You think that's it?
Yeah, probably.
If they're listening to us, how about going on to Thanksgiving? You know? But anyway, the cannas and the caladiums and the gladiolas and the amaryllis and the agapanthus, they're great plants for our area. And if you're looking for color, that's the thing to do. But what a lot of us do, Tammy, is go the tropical route. And the tropical choices are so obvious.
I do love the tropical ones.
So many of us grow them. I tell you, the elephant ears are going crazy. They're just growing every day. But if you're growing elephant ears, be sure to – that's really another –
Listen, my mom had an elephant ear since I was born, I think, and she still has it.
Oh yeah,
it's huge.
And every year you say, "That's it."
They died. It was so big.
They're never coming back. And here they come. Two varieties, and I don't have the names because I don't think I can pronounce them. Ones that sort of grow and kind of fall over. Then there's the ones that grow upright.
Okay,
so you're looking at them. Those are the ones I have planted. I love those. They really do well. And just give your yard a little bit of that tropical look.
Yeah.
Especially if you plant them in the corner somewhere.
Maybe they take up a lot of space, too.
They do. They absolutely do. And then put some other plants in front of them. It kind of gives your yard a tropical look. So
I like that.
I really like the elephant ears. They're doing very, very well. Of course, one of my all-time favorites is the hibiscus.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hibiscus are beautiful. They are blooming their hearts out right now. Also, I have a yellow and a red one. And remember now, I'm an old man, so I don't like change. So I do it every year. I buy the yellow and the red one. But they just do great. Full sun. I think if we kind of kid ourselves and say, well, you know, I got half a day sun, I'm going to try it. they'll grow, but it's going to be probably more vegetative than the blooms. So full sun is the best thing. And then another favorite, if you're looking for a vine, you have a trellis, a mandevilla is just a perfect tropical plant. Mandevilla. I love the white ones. And you put them, what I've done, I put a big stepping stone down, put a big clay pot, planted the mandevilla in the clay pot, and put the trellis behind it.
Oh, nice. I bet that's beautiful.
So as it grows, it just winds its way up that trellis. By the end of summer, that trellis, which is just, oh my goodness, at least 5 feet high, is totally full.
Wonderful.
It's a great plant.
I love this. I love when you tell us your suggestions. I think it's amazing. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. We need to take a quick break. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with Mike Williams with the Garden Line.
As we end up listening to Danny and the Juniors at the Hop, I've got to make my last pitch for the Pensacola High School Class of 63. We're having our reunion this year. It's going to be in June 9th, as a matter of fact. If you're a member of that class, and if you're listening, and if you haven't already sent us your money, get in contact with me. I'll tell you all the details. So we have got a good crowd coming, believe it or not. We really do. And it's been 60 years. But
that's amazing.
But anyway, we've got some good folks coming. Look forward to seeing a lot of people from out of town are coming.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So that's great.
Our class president, he's going to make a little talk. He lives in Gainesville.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's going to be great. So, you're going to have a good time. You're going to play that song?
I am now.
You are now. I've given him some really good options. We got Elvis.
I hadn't thought about Danny and the Juniors for probably about 40 years, but that's a great song. Very timely for my my reunion class.
Oh, that's going to be fun. You're going to have a great time.
There's no doubt about it. I do want to say what great questions we've had today.
Oh, yeah, Kevin, absolutely. We always have great questions, too.
And the gentleman or the lady who texted us about the liquid mixed with the liquid grass seed application. We really would love to hear from you about what type of seed is in that mixture. So look forward to hearing from them last year. Tammy, great job.
Thank you so much for coming on. We always enjoy it. Coming up, we're going to have Brent Lane in the studio talking about scammers.
That'll
so you
fun.
Don't want to miss out on that.
No.
Again, tonight is Bands on the Beach out at the Gulfside Pavilion with Jordan Chase. Coming up on the Pep Talk, you don't want to miss out.